Just a few weeks ago, Tony Nicholson died at home. This is just days after he lost his High Court case to allow doctors to end his life. He had locked-in syndrome, which means he was completely paralysed and only able to communicate through his eye movements. I've been speaking to Lee and Peter Miller. Their daughter, Eve, is 9, is thought to be one of the youngest people in the world to suffer from locked-in syndrome. I began by asking her mum, Lee, about the day last year when everything changed for Eve.
Well, Eve was 8 last year on the 14th of February, Valentine's Day, and she just suddenly collapsed and said she had a pain behind her eye and screamed and collapsed and had a massive bleed to her brain.
And before that, Eve was a healthy little girl, was she?
She was absolutely fine, no problems at all.
None?
No.
So take me back to that day. What was she doing in the house?
She wasn't actually at home. She wasn't actually with us. She was with her grandmother because she'd been off school. She'd had a viral infection and she'd been off school because she still had a few spots on her face and she wasn't happy about going to school. So we said she could have the day off. And she was just about to put her wellies on to go for a walk with her grandmother and she just screamed out in pain and that was it.
What happened next?
Well, our grandmother rang the ambulance straight away, obviously knowing there was something really wrong with Eve. She was slurring her words and she couldn't stand up, you know. She was just staggering around and the ambulance arrived and pretty much straight away we knew there was something seriously wrong. Eve was taken into hospital where, you know, they just fought and fought to save her life once they realised she'd had a massive bleed to the brain.
And Peter, you leave your daughter off at her granny's and the next thing you hear, she's fighting for her life. Can you describe to me, Peter, what you saw when you walked into the hospital?
To be honest with you, I think now it's all a bit of a blur, but I just remember getting to the hospital, Lee and I arrived at different times. I just remember seeing Lee at her bedside and obviously very upset and Eve was just pretty much sort of motionless on the bed when I got there and just doctors, nurses, all medical staff just, you know, flying around her trying to try to what was wrong basically at that time.
And Lee, a very traumatic time for you. Obviously your focus on Eve at that stage. At what stage were you told that she had locked-in syndrome?
Well, that wasn't until earlier this year, after Eve was discharged from hospital, and all the disability she was left with, it was never actually mentioned to us until we started looking into it and other people said to us, you know, about locked-in syndrome and it was just as a routine appointment Eve had with her consultant that we asked, does Eve have this? And he confirmed that, yes, she did.
And what does that mean? Can you describe the situation she's in?
Yeah, Eve is aware of everything that's going on around her. She still remembers things from the past. She remembers things from yesterday, as well as things before her collapse. But she just can't offer any movement. She can't offer any response to things. She can't talk. She can't move. She can't eat or drink. She's fed through a gastrostomy tube into her tummy. And everything's just really, really difficult for Eve, you know. Even she can blink, not consistently, but she can blink to answer a closed question. But even that just takes Eve so much time and effort that it's really hard work for her and very tiring.
How does she communicate?
She can't at the moment. That's about it, really, the odd blink that we can get an answer to a question. And even then, you know, you wait so long for a blink as a yes, or, you know, a no, but, you know, Eve naturally blinks anyway, like we all do, and it's very hard to interpret.
So when you said, Lee, that Eve can understand everything that's going on around her, how do you know if there's no reaction?
Well, before, when Eve was in hospital, we were getting better responses with blinks. And we knew pretty much then, obviously, there were speech and language therapists working with Eve every day and other therapists, you know, coming in to work with Eve. And we were getting much better responses. But Eve's since had radiotherapy when they found the tumour. And we were told that could have an effect on her cognitive function. So, you know, we just don't know whether that has affected Eve and whether she just can't blink as well now or whether you know, it could be other factors, you know, whether she could be down and not just not want to communicate with us and not want to blink like she was before.
So you've no idea how happy or sad she is?
She does smile. We do get the odd smile from Eve, you know, if she's happy. But more often than not, we know when she's unhappy because she can grimace. She grimaces and just makes a face that you just know she's not happy. And that's about it, really. That's all we can get.
Liam Peter, this is a horrible question, and it's asked with due respect, and it's asked in the context of what Mr. Nicholson had been asking the High Court for. He had been fighting a court case to allow doctors to end his life. Tony Nicholson had locked-in syndrome himself. Do you think your daughter's life is a life worth living?
Well, Eve's only nine. It's two completely different scenarios, really. Eve's only nine, and we still don't know what the future holds for Eve. We still do hope that there will be some kind of improvement, and we understand that that could take years. You know, but even to be able to communicate with Eve and to know that she's happy, really, I think we need to give Eve that. We need to give Eve that option, and we need to, you know, find out how Eve feels about things.
And Peter, if there were to be no improvement.
Well, I mean, again, like Lee's saying, we don't know what the future holds, and, you know, we can certainly sympathise and empathise with Tony Nicholson and his family a lot more than probably most families could. But without being in that situation ourselves, all we can do at the moment is hold out hope, that because we've never been told that Eve's not going to get any better. We've always been told by medical professionals and the experts that there is a chance of improvement. And I think whilst that chance is there, we can't really let ourselves believe that Eve's not going to get any better, because if we did that, I believe that Eve would give up the fight as well if we started giving up the fight. At this moment in time, she hasn't got a great quality of life, but that's what we're trying to improve, and that's why we're doing things like fundraising and you know, basically our job as parents is to make sure that Eve and our other children have got the best possible lives. Really, we can't look beyond that.
Have you been given any kind of sense as to when improvement might happen? I understand that it's a very fluid situation, but are the doctors saying, look, it could take years for any improvement?
It can. I mean, that's what we've been told. The thing with the brain is it's so uncertain, because you've really got to let the brain write itself, if you like. You know, you can sort of, you know, being told you can retrain the brain, if you like, but if the brain's not working, then it won't be retrained. It's as simple as that. But there's been no time limit put on it. They've basically said that any improvement, any small step forward will be very, very gradual. We're obviously 18, 19 months down the line now. And yes, you have bad days when you think, you know, could this be it? Is this Eve as good as she's going to get? And that might be the case. It might be. But, you know, at the same time, who's to say that, you know, I mean, I think Tony Nicholson lived with his disabilities and his problems for about 7 years. You know, we're not there yet. Do you know what I mean? We're not seven years down the line. I think we've still got to, you know, what they did say was even the first 2 years are still very early stages in his recovery. So we're not even at the end of those 2 years yet. So we've still got to get a little time.
It's frustratingly slow for you, Lee.
It is. It's very slow. But we just have to. We have to take each day and what comes with it, you know, and just be there for Eve. You know, we just don't want to turn Eve's life into a tragedy, really. We don't want to do that at all. We want to look forward to the future and hope that there's going to be some improvement. But it is very slow and it is very frustrating. But, you know, we've still got our little girl with us.
And you're attempting to raise £25,000 for equipment that would make her life easier. How would it make her life easier?
Well, since he's been discharged from hospital, you know, you get what's required in the house, you know, it's sort of basic, you know, things that Eve needs. She needs to get upstairs, so you get a lift to take her upstairs. She needs a hoist to get in the bath seat. She gets one of those to be able to get in the bath. But it's basic comfort equipment, you know, a comfortable mattress for her bed. She's still lying on a hospital mattress in the house, you know, and that's not nice for anyone. You know, play equipment for the garden. And when you talk about play equipment for children with additional needs, it's a lot more expensive than just going out and buying a normal swing for a perfectly fit and healthy child. So all these things cost money, and we just would like to give Eve a quality of life that she deserves.
Well, listen, I wish you both all the very best on your journey, and thank you for sharing your story with me. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you very much. Thanks, Sam.